Thank you, Dr. Tallman. Dr. Pollack, you did a super job of setting the stage. We sure appreciate all your leadership and guidance throughout. We've learned a lot. What I'd like to do today is provide you an update of where we are currently. As Dr. Pollack said, we still thoroughly emphasize phenotypic data. In fact, our model's been this way since fall of 2009 when the initial genomic enhanced DPDs were released at the American Angus Association. And so we fit the genomic results that come in as a correlated trait. So they function as indicator traits. For all the EPDs that we currently provide publicly, the exception would be the heifer pregnancy EPD, which does not have genomic results in it at this time. Just as a recap of the pieces, my collaborator, Dr. Tanya Heyman with AGI and the American Angus Association is also here. She does a huge amount of outreach on genomic and all sorts of genetic tools. And she's always reminding me to emphasize that we still need the phenotypes. Again, a correlated trait model that will incorporate genomic results that come in on a weekly basis from GeneSeq and Zoetis. We run typical genetic evaluation, as so many of the breeds do, to provide those weekly evaluations. If the genomic information or phenotypic information is in our office by 4:30 Central Time on Tuesday afternoon, then those EPDs are updated Friday morning for our breeders and affiliates to access. A good example, again, of our correlated trait model is perhaps depicted in the carcass EPDs most readily. We're pushing towards 100,000 harvest records. We still have those phenotypes arrive. In addition to that, we're at 1.5 million ultrasound scan records, which have functioned as an indicator trait in our carcass trait EPD since about 2008. We also now tie in over 60,000 molecular breeding values into that weekly evaluation, and then ultimately post those carcass trait EPDs that you're familiar with for carcass weight, marbling, rib, and fat. Just to give you a picture, it just totally amazes me in terms of the breeder uptake, and that's really what I'd like to focus on today. So many of you all have come to our different presentations and are familiar with our approach on the genomic enhanced DPDs, but just to give you an update on some of the counts, when this program kicked off for us late 2009 to 2010, we had almost 2,400 genomic results that were going in that correlated trait model. And we started with carcass traits, and then we readily updated as we had time to do the math on that. And you can see the growth to where currently in the evaluation that was released this morning, containing molecular breeding values associated with the GeneSeq Igenity 384 and the Zoetis HD50K, we're sitting at nearly 60,000 values in that math. About 57% of those are bulls that have those results. And initially I thought, well, maybe we would chase one gender or the other. But just to give you a breakdown on that, we're at about 57% bulls on that. And we're up over this week, over 33,000 are the HD50K type components for us. So that's exciting as well. So the uptake has been amazing. One of the sidebar benefits that we've seen as an association for our breeders and benefits as well is just watching how breeders use the genomic results. And it's really become a standard equipment or piece of information that our industry affiliates as well have tied to. In working with Angus breeders, one of the nice key features of capitalizing on what's become more of a low-cost technology for us and having those genomic results is building accuracy in that female or that cowherd. And one of the relational pieces they put with that is, on the right here, I have listed just a classic cow production record for an Angus female. And now a heifer can have a genomic result and arrive at a similar accuracy to a female that's had 8 or 10 calves. So that's a tool that we can use in teaching as well to try to convey the message of what we're trying to do with genomic-enhanced EPDs. This has been a nice sidebar for us. So what I've depicted here in the graph, we like to track how much parentage information is coming into the association. So we started the SNP parentage utilization in the office in about 2011, and those are the black bars. And then you see on those light blue bars where we were by month in 2012. Now, with more uptake of this technology by our breeders, in 2013, we're really expanding the amount of information, with parentage being a standard component to that HD 50K result. So this has been a nice sidebar in reconciling that parentage verification on the front end, until, rather than waiting in the good old days to where information's come in, calves have come in, and suddenly we have to back the truck up. So this has been a super sidebar that's worked real nicely in our office, and the breeders have appreciated that as well. So it lets us make various corrections as we go. As I bring this to a close, just to hit some highlights of how our breeders have capitalized on this technology, I think they recognize that it's given access to improved genetic selection tools. They love the weekly genetic evaluations, and that lets us give them a more real-time feel for their genomic results into genomic-enhanced EPDs. So we've essentially done away, for the most part, with our interim concept for EPDs. It lets them access some values that might have been more difficult for them to capture data, whether it was scan data or carcass, for example. With embryo transfer calves, they like being able to sort out those differences. Also, we have breeders of varying herd sizes, and in those smaller contemporary groups, they're able to really hone in on the genomic technology. Some breeders are already using this in their donor selection process. And so overall, they're seeing quite a bit of value in using this technology in non-parent animals in particular. So with that, Dr. Tallman, that's just some brief comments, and I'll turn it back over to you.